Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with the Committee of the Whole meeting for Thursday, May 30th, 2019. We'll do the roll call. Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
Councilmember Barker.
Here.
All right. Tonight's meeting is to discuss the interlocal agreement and land lease agreement between the town of Stevensville and the Stevensville Rural Fire District. The primary purpose of this meeting is so that the administration and the fire chief can discuss with the council objectives of the agreement, what council would like to see incorporated into the agreement, and have that conversation so that we can incorporate those thoughts into the document, and then get it back over to the Rural Fire District for their review. Tonight's meeting is not intended to be a negotiation between the district and the town. If negotiations needed, that'll happen between the executive branch and the district. But it is an opportunity for the council again to review the documents that are being proposed by the fire chief and I, and provide their feedback. So obviously after that conversation takes place, there will be an opportunity for public comment. Chief Motley, you want to kind of run us through where we've been, where we are?
Where we've been and where we are. We've been all over the place for a long time. Basically, our local agreement started back with different agreements dating back to, I think the first one is 97. And then the different agreements started coming forward from there. Eventually got turned into an interlocal agreement in around 2000. And then there's been copies redrafted and reviewed and then revised coming forward from there. Currently, we are on a draft, or not a draft, but an agreement from 2017, which expired over a year ago. So we do need to get a new interlocal agreement put together and adopted going forward. So it's kind of where we've come from through the different various versions. We've had agreements where the district was paying the town for use of equipment and turnouts and what have you. And then from there it morphed into the town had land and ability to build the fire hall next door, in which the district then leased back and paid back the town for that building. And so that's how that building got built. And then from there, it just kind of kept going and going, and we added QRU, and we added different methods of how we buy and share costs, cost share, different items between the two entities, the district and the town. And that is spelled out in the language as well. QRU is a 50-50 split on supplies. And then it also in there does talk about some operational things as far as basically we have an automatic mutual aid agreement is in this document that we will respond to the district, and the district will in turn reciprocate back to the town on all requests for service. And in the document it also spells out in there insurances and things like that we need to carry to cover ourselves and the other departments, reciprocating that way as well. It also talks about workers' comp and then all those things. We did get together, the council and I, and we did visit about these things. So, I mean, there's really nothing new there on that front. So it's kind of where we are to where we are tonight. And what I would like to see come forward out of this meeting is a direction that the council wants to move going forward with the district, so we can take a proposal back to the district and go, here's what the county is proposing for our interlocal agreement, let's see, and then we would start that negotiation. I really don't think, I've seen drafts from the district, I've met with some of the district board and had that conversation with them as well, as well as some of you had those conversations also. I really don't think that the two departments are very far apart as to what the interlocal agreement would need or should look like. I think probably the biggest piece to the interlocal agreement would be the lease of the building. And I don't know if the council wants to have the lease as part of the interlocal agreement, or if you'd like to have that be a standalone document. You certainly could do it either way. But those are the types of inputs that I would like to get out of this meeting so we can put it into a document and go, let's say you're bored, and then go from there. But I really don't think, you know, there's spelling and there's words and things like that that we might want to look at and check over. And I did give you a copy. I think it's the same copy that was in your packet. The difference will be is we'll have my scribble notes kind of in the margins and the sides. And more than anything, those are just things that I was going through it, kind of, well, not a good question. What about maybe we should look at? And so that's why I wrote down there, and then maybe we'll talk about those things tonight. So, and it's my understanding that this is a conversation.
Right.
Okay. Right.
So, I mean, jump in.
So the last time this came before council, the lease agreement was incorporated into your interlocal agreement. The direction at that time from the council was, let's pull the two pieces apart, since there were some things both in the lease and in the interlocal that needed some massaging. So in your packet tonight, you have the most recent interlocal agreement that the mayor's office has, and you have a lease agreement that was drafted by the town to propose for a lease separate from the interlocal. So you're considering two documents tonight, giving input into two documents tonight, unless the council reverses their original direction and says, you know, we'd like the whole thing to be in one agreement, then we'll have to rework some of that and put those pieces back into the agreement. But that's what you have before you tonight, is those two documents.
Is this supposed to be 2018 or 2019?
The date needs to be updated to be
okay.
Relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't updated dates or anything.
Not this one. Mm-hmm. This one.
This one.
Okay. We've been working on this since 2018.
Oh, well, that's what I figured. That's why I was like, is this staying at 2018? Okay.
We'll go through and do the grammatical stuff, but hopefully what we get out of tonight is some more content and direction in that fashion.
I mean, you'll see on page 2, down there, where it says, whereas the town owns and is licensed to operate an ambulance service for the purpose of providing backup ambulance transport, that's brand new to the local agreement, because prior to this draft, we did not have a transport license, right? Or those capabilities. So that's brand new in there. Another thing that I think we need to add into the local agreement is the fact that we are now providing a retirement benefit to district members for their 20 years of service. And we did that via ordinance.
It's done by resolution.
Yeah, we did a resolution for that a couple of years ago now. But I think we need to put that into this document, you know, under the town's responsibilities that, yeah, we acknowledge that that's a need. We are providing that to the district members as well.
So it's not two different retirements, it's just one?
No. There are two different retirements. There's a town retirement and there's a state retirement. The state pays the district's retirement. So if you're a member of both departments, which the majority of us are, then you get a town retirement and a state retirement. Now they have different qualifications in order to draw. You have to have a minimum of 20 years of service And if you're withdrawing from the state, you have to be age 55 or older to draw. To draw from the town, you have to have a minimum of 20 years of service at any age, and you're eligible to draw. The town's retirement hours and years of service do not transfer. If you were to leave the town's department and go to, say, Corvallis, those years of retirement service for the town will not follow you. However, the district's years of service would follow you to Corvallis or Victor or wherever you go, because their districts and district's retirement plan is funded by the state. And so those hours do accumulate and do travel with you if you stay within the state of Montana.
Okay, I have an example, Jeff. Lee Henderson. He left the Stephenville Fire Department for a while.
He did.
Moved to Florence.
He did. Well, he left.
I'm just saying, he joined them for a short time. Right. Well, no, it's no secret. Okay, as you were just saying, so his retirement followed him there. So now that he comes back, does that retirement follow him back to Stephenville again?
So his town retirement, because he never officially quit or left the department, he resigned from being the assistant chief. He did not resign from being a member of the town of Stephenville Fire Department.
Oh, so he never did.
He never did. So those years in his time all continued with the town and with the district and the state.
Okay. So,
you're right. That is an example. If I were to leave and go to wherever for 2 years and then come back and not do a leave of absence or not do those types of things, then that would be something that I would bring back. I would hope the chief would bring back to the council and go, here's the situation, what say you? And it would seem to me to go, well, we got qualified here for 15 years, and yeah, they were gone for five, and now they want to pick up and continue on. Why wouldn't we start at 15 years and add to whatever years of service we gained from that individual? I mean,
okay, thank you.
I mean, but that would be a council decision.
Actually, that would go to the relief.
True.
Because they set the benefits.
So in the document that I handed out, and I think it's also the same brand, without a lease agreement in there, there's another section on page 4, maybe 5D. You see, I have a scribble note there that 5D in my mind would be moved out or to a lease agreement if we're going to do a lease agreement. If we're going to throw a lease agreement back into the interlocal agreement, then that verbiage would need to be adjusted. Other than that, there's just not a whole lot of change or a lot of difference between this draft and other drafts that I've seen out there.
Mm-hmm. What about the water situation as far as the rural
department?
We talked about it up in your office, Robin and I, that night about the water, you know.
So currently in the drafts we have before you...
Has that changed is all I'm asking, if we can just stay the same.
No. The proposal in front of you is there's no charge for water. I mean, unless you as a council think that we should be charging...
You're sharing everything else.
For water, I mean, that's your call. I mean, yes, it costs the town to produce water. I mean, that's council. Those are the types of inputs that we're looking for from you as a council.
Right, and that's why I'm asking questions, because...
Currently, we're not billing for any water usage. All we ask is that they report the amount of water that they are utilizing.
Correct.
That's what we're asking in return.
Okay.
And currently there is no
charge,
lease or charge for upstairs office space, meeting room space. All that is gone by the wayside. It used to be in your local agreements because at that time it was permanent. They didn't have those facilities, and so that was part of the agreement that they would rent or lease usage of those spaces. Well, that's all changed now with the completion of the West Side station, which is, yeah, beautiful station. So those things are no longer needed, so they're no longer in your local agreement.
Okay.
One thing that I would ask you guys to look at is the term of the agreement. I mean, is this annually? Do you look at it annually, 5 years, 10 years? I think we need to put some type of a term or a date in there to review this thing. Yes, I mean, any agreement that we put on the table, I would think is going to be a living document. And by that, I mean that things come up and changes need to happen. We can go in, get together, and go, hey, we need to change whatever piece is in there, mutually agree upon it, and make that change and then adopt that agreement at that time or whatever. So,
does the city have a figure maybe in mind, like you had mentioned upstairs?
Figure four.
For the agreement.
Yeah, I think a 5 year.
That's what you had mentioned upstairs. You thought a 5 year agreement would.
Yeah.
That's what you threw at us.
Yeah, I mean.
At least Robin and I.
You know, especially if we were doing a lease, I would think a 5 year term would be appropriate. Mm-hmm. Now, on an interlocal agreement, I think that we need to look at it. I mean, it's a living document. We need to be looking at it as we're utilizing it and as things are going along. I mean, it's just like when we added the ambulance and the transport, well, we need to increase and put that language back into the document so we know what's going on. Mm-hmm.
So you can ask a question and probably have a follow-up comment. How integral to the interlocal agreement is the lease arrangement?
I don't know that it's really integral to it. I mean, I think it could be a very much be its own standalone document.
It's been a couple of iterations since I last put comments on this. I've reviewed what was on the agenda packet. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would suggest that, assuming that the town council gives kind of a thumbs up towards having both the lease component as well as the interlocal component, I would probably encourage stripping out the lease terms from the interlocal. I'd certainly reference it. Right. One of the problems I could see running into, I'm not suggesting that not good for the rent, but if you have to terminate the actual lease for any reason, the interlocal itself has terms of the lease. And so right. You can end up in a situation where you have to go ahead and terminate the interlocal as well, which I don't think would be ideal. This to me is a much broader, much more expansive in scope for what it intends to do versus like the actual square footage rent for the agent or something.
And that's kind of my view on it also is that lease agreement should be its own standalone document so we can live and do what it needs to do as it needs to do it without affecting the local, which is more toward the operational side of how the two departments interact.
So what I suggest to council is that council give a thumbs up to both components, that the interlocal, I'm looking at page 6, subsection 4, facilities, so lease, and interlocal. That sort of can reference the lease, suggest that it incorporates the terms of the lease. However, if the lease is terminated, it's independent from the local supply.
The other piece to all this that seems to always become the question is the historical piece of the, whereas we had this agreement and now this agreement and now this agreement. And then we get down 2-3 pages into it, goes, this supersedes all previous whatever. Well, why do we keep dredging out all the past history? This is the document that supersedes everything else. Mm-hmm. I understand there's a need for historical information and there's value in having that historical information, but I don't know why we need to drag that back in to the local agreement every time. I mean, that's my question to you guys.
I would like to hear, I'm hearing what you're saying too, Jeff, but what the interlocal is also the district just saying, what are they looking for?
Well, I think we agree that we feel the lease should be split up from the interlocal. That seems to cause the most concern on a normal basis. They're trying to renegotiate the lease, and we think that should totally be a separate document. The basic interlocal agreement that you're looking at that the town developed is, for the most part, pretty sound, and we agree with it. We have some, mainly some semantics that you know, I've added, and I think I discussed it with most of you, some of the you know, basically it's more wordsmithing than anything that we put into the, what we would like to see. You know, one of the things is that the 2000 agreement did basically specify that the district was in charge of that new addition over there, because we basically paid for that. So, and we'd like to see that included. I've got a marked up copy here, and honestly, the changes are really, you know, they're really minor, like Jeff said. I think we're on board together to do this. There isn't a term specified in this. I don't think, you know, we wouldn't object to a 5-year renewable, you know, type of thing. But you know, I mean, we did add that, you know, as far as the water goes, now with the town owning, you know, the airport, you know, one of the things that we put in there is we don't pay for water, which is part of the current, you know, interlocal agreement, but we also will provide water tenders and water support up at the airport if there's an incident up there. So, you know, some things like that. You know, we added that, you know, the town of Stevensville Water Department or another designated party, that we would report to them as far as the use of water within 24 hours. We talked about maintaining workman's comp, and basically we said that, you know, that we think the city should maintain workman's comp and everybody on their roster, and basically we're going to pick up the slack. Anybody that's not on the city roster, you know, the district will cover. But, I mean, it's little things like that that we put in the agreement. We did, and this is our draft. After we took, you know, the draft Brandon, the mayor sent us, we went through and revised it, but it's really slight revisions and just basically, you know, clarifying some things. One of the things we talked about equipment was that we said that district and the town own separate apparatuses utilizing joint fire responses. We have a heavy rescue truck and reserve engine that's available for the town to use. The town has a ladder truck that's available for us to use. We also have a maintenance bay that's available. If the town needs that, we're putting that on the table just with prior coordination. You know, we talk about the 50-50 percentage of sharing, and, you know, it's really pretty minor what we're looking to see. And I've got copies that I can hand out that's highlighted. It basically shows, you know, what the changes are that we'd like to see. And obviously, you know, if there's a different direction you want to go, you know, if we could get a draft of it before, so.
Do you have a copy, Jim?
I think we went through it.
We went through that. This is the same copy we went through when we met with
you. Yeah, when we met with you guys.
We went through at the meeting.
Yeah, I just highlighted all the...
Oh. So it's basically the town's interlocal agreement, and anything that we altered, I highlighted in there. So you can go through and double check it.
One thing that neither one of us, I think, are very good at is naming documents to the point, because I have a historical, just a stack of when you get something, and you start reading the whereas, pretty soon you're down to like, okay, what does this one end with? And so I think we all need to do a better job of this is draft number, whatever, or this is calendar draft number, whatever. So, because a lot of them are very similar. Like, one's on the website right now. My printer broke before I could come to the meeting. But it's a little bit different than the last draft that I had on, but I don't think it's dramatically different. There's just some corrections. But so we did hand that document out, and you know, with a highlighting on it, you know, that's the rural proposals.
Sure.
So the rural proposal, what I'm reading on page 2, is worded just a little different on the top, so you got highlighted.
Right.
Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
The city's agreement on far as cost for the share in the building.
Yeah, so that at the top of page 2 there, you know, basically what we did is we added that the 2000 agreement, and I've got copies of the 2000 agreement if you want to look at it, and I can hand it out. It basically said that the building that was built, you know, for the rural district, you know, that building would be under the control of the rural fire district. And that was specified in the original lease agreement. So we're not changing that. The agreement set forth payment agreements between the town and the district to reimburse the town for building costs, which happened, and then, you know, which was located on town property but under control of the district. So anything that's highlighted was changed in the document that we originally received, and it's, you know, honestly, it's just little things, you know, so if you have any questions on any of those, we'd be glad to entertain them.
Well, right away, the wording, the town is to share the cost, and your is to reimburse the cost.
So what happened is, and actually, yeah, you can talk about that. Well, how the history of that 208 Buck Street fire station, how that came about, and
I think you may have seen this one at one
public conference. It's how it basically came about.
Anybody else want one? The history of that. 208 Buck Street. Thank you. I feel like being that way. Basically, it just talks about that back as far as 97 is when that we purchased a lot between 206 Buck Street and the current evidence storage building over there. Mm-hmm. In September 2000, the town and the rural district signed interlocal included the plans to build two additional bays next to 206, which is became 208 Buck Street. Stephensville District Fire District agreed to give the property next to the current building to the town, and give the existing structure, the evidence storage building, to the town as a credit toward the new bays at an agreed value of $55,000. The rural borrowed $41,800 from the town's CDGB fund and agreed to repay it back with an interest rate of 6.2 over 10 years. These two amounts equals $96,800. That's what we had invested. Once it was paid back, we agreed to pay $415 a month for 208 Buck Street. So that's kind of where it came to, with the understanding that in 10 years we were going to have a long-term lease payment, a better rent payment, if we look at it, as $415 a month. So
one of the things that, you know, we view this more as similar to an airport lease. You know, I mean, you know, the town owns the property. We built, you know, and paid for the facility, you know, the structure. And then there's just a continual lease going forward. So that's how we view that. You know, I mean, we invested almost $100,000 in that building. And the agreement was basically that we would pay $5,000 a year, you know, for that, you know, for that property, and that was intended, at least our understanding is that's supposed to go on forever that way. So that's kind of where that comes. I've got the original agreement that was signed back in 2000, and it, you know, it specifies that too. But that's, you know, a quick synopsis. And if there's any questions on that, it's kind of a different thing, but it's, you know, if you look at it similar to the airport, where you own the ground underneath, the individuals own the building. They can sell that building if they want. They pay a lease payment to you or a rent payment to you or to the town. And, mm-hmm. You know, and it's, those are long-term leases, I believe, you know, 20 years or whatever. So when we get in the other phase, if in fact we are going to, you know, split those two out and talk about a lease agreement, we'd like something that's longer term, so we don't have to come back and revisit this every 2 or 3 years, it seems. So, yeah.
So, on the 2000 lease agreement, I have 470, and this one says 415.
Number three in that, you'll see it drops down to 415 per month.
Perfect, I saw that. Now.
Yeah.
But it does say it's reviewed every 2 years, and it does not say it's.
So the two bays that are the bays that you guys own in there now, are those fully your bays, or are we storing part of?
Well, currently, the town currently is using, you know, there's, if you want to say two large bays there, they're using one of the large bays. So, you know, in an effort to be good neighbors, when the town bought the ladder truck, they didn't have space for the ladder truck. So the district at that point ended up moving, you know, our reserve engine and, was it a grass rig? Or anyway, we moved, you know, pieces of our apparatus to other stations to accommodate, you know, the space so that the ladder truck could go here, and then they could, you know, put the other engines, you know, in space that we had been paying for. And that's one of the reasons that the most recent interlocal, you know, they kind of dropped the payment for that, you know, space over there because the town was using part of it. So, and we never really came to an agreement. We obviously said, okay, fine, you've got the truck, you need the space, we'll help you out. We didn't have anything formal at that time, you know, that, hey, the town is now going to take over part of that facility that we paid for. And, you know, we didn't have anything negotiated at the time that would drop our lease or our rent or whatever.
It was,
you know,
a verbal thing.
What's that?
It was just a verbal thing.
It was just a verbal thing. We just, you know, the vehicle got here, we moved stuff around, we put it in place.
Prior to the vehicle's arrival, I contacted Chief Olson and said, this is what we got going on, can we do this?
Yeah, sure.
And we made that agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the same way that we made the agreement to move the freight line to the bench to replace the MAC and run the International 2010, that's first due on all calls. And the district was going to replace that burn fork engine with a replacement engine, which he did with the MAC. Mm-hmm. That came from Missoula. So, I mean, these give and take and work, and that's how we make this community work. It's because we do work together and we do make things work. I mean, the whole building was for the to be used by both the town and the district.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in the very first agreement, in the 2000 agreement. It states that, and that the district would have the control or the say over it while they were paying for it.
So, can I take a
look? Absolutely.
I was on the council, I think shortly before we did all this, and I was a captain on the city fire department when this was buildings were going on. But the original Burke Fort Rural District Fire Hall, which is your evidence storage building, that lot, correct me if I'm wrong, was owned by the town, and the building was built and owned by the Rural Fire District, and I believe that was for almost in perpetuity.
Was it the Burnt Park Station, the green building that was between the two?
It's the current, it's the building that's over there now.
Yeah, Evans.
Yeah. The green building that was between the two was a parking garage for some people across the street, and the district bought that when it became available. So the district's fire halls back in the day, the Aetna Hall, the Bench Hall, all of those buildings were built by the district on leased ground. This one just happened to be owned by the city, and it was leased from the city. Most of them were 100-year lease for $1 a year. That's the way it was worked 50 years ago. So when we needed to get bigger, both departments, we said, well, that's an individual lot in a building over there that can't get any bigger. So let's use it something different. I think originally it was the police department had it or something. And then that's how this all came about. So when I look at this and look back and knowing the history on it, whether looking back, maybe we should have did a little better job at writing our agreements and our contracts, but different mayors over the years, it got incorporated into the volunteer agreement between the two of us. I'm using terms for another organization I'm in, but
wait a minute.
Yeah. So that it's important to separate those in my mind, because our agreement that we're working on and how the operation takes place on the fire ground is way more important towards ISO ratings and what our taxpayers pay for their fire insurance. And it doesn't really matter who owns the building or who owns what. So if we can separate those, see, because right now we're talking a year and a half to get this agreement done, and the way the people that rate our ISO and our insurance are rating it based on this agreement. because it's way more important than a volunteer than a mutual aid agreement, because it's unique. And they look at this document. There's things that we bring to the table, and there's things that you bring to the table with the city fire department that give us the most excellent rating in the valley, as far as I'm concerned. And neither one of us individually would get that rating. But right now, I think we're kind of in a gray area, and one of the reasons it's important to separate these two is so that we can get our day-to-day operational agreement and keep it current, and not take a year and a half in limbo. Because I really think we're risking an asset to our taxpayers and their homeowners insurance by not having a current agreement on the books. So that's the big reason why these need to be separated. It just seems like the lease agreement is dragging on the day-to-day operational agreement, and the best thing we can do is separate those for all parties, including our taxpayer. That's my two cents for it.
And I think we're in total agreement on moving that way, absolutely. And I think that the lease agreement helps to that. So I totally believe we can put something on paper that both comfortable with it at all.
So for that ISO rating, we need that burnt fork hall, whether it happens to be attached to this building or on Middle Burnt Fork or in some property. I mean, we need to have that hall in order to keep our agreements and our mutual aid with all the neighboring departments. If we don't keep this agreement going between the rural and the city, then we stand to lose that continuity, which gives us our ISO rating, that continuity between Victor and because without the rule that encompasses the town doesn't have those agreements. They're not a neighboring department. They're only neighboring with the rule. The rule neighbors with all the other departments. So it's really good for everybody concerned to facilitate the current operation.
I don't think the town could stand alone and pay for the insurance anyway, do you, Jeff?
Should we get them all?
No way.
Neither one of us could.
Neither one of you could. Yeah, so you have to work together whether you want or not. And if you got it, like you said, you all work together anyway.
The town could get a good ISO rating. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll produce an ISO rating. That's not the question. The bigger question to Brad's point is how do we provide continuity of service to the community? And the community isn't the city limits of Stevensville.
No.
And it's not the boundaries of the rural fire district. It's the community members up and down the valley. Mm-hmm. Yes, granted, the town tax dollars pay the bill for the town fire department. No arguments.
Like we do our budget every year.
Absolutely. Right. No arguments there. And the district taxpayers pay their bill as well. But everybody travels in and out, and it's a big moving picture.
It's a shared. You
know, I mean, how can
touch on the ISO a bit? I mean, it's not just the town, it's not just the district.
It's the valley.
It's Florence, 3 Mile, Victor, Corvallis. It's all where we put stations at. We were lucky on the district side; they put buildings almost exactly where we need them for ISO today. It's personnel. I mean, we need the personnel from town. Town needs personnel from the district. We need personnel from all of our mutual aid partners. You know, like on Brad's point, it's the 5 mile road distance to your mutual aid that you need. You know, we have that. It's all there.
We've improved it by adding the airport station. Because that was kind of getting out on that fringe edge from being served from town, from the Burnt Fork station and town stations.
We use the same mileage. So. Burnt Fork to cover our other district. Burnt Fork covers Illinois Ditch for us. Mm-hmm. That keeps us within that 5 mile.
And that affects the insurance for the people within that 5 mile radius. So
they're homeowners.
Yeah, they're homeowners.
Because they have an OTA time of within the limits that insurance would cover that.
Right. And most recently, I mean, 2 years ago, both the town and the district were a 5, and now we're both a 4, because, you know, I mean, there have been synergies between the two departments that help us keep that. If you know, if you try to split it up into a mutual aid, then we'd probably both go back to a 5, which it's not a huge amount, but it definitely, you know, counts on your insurance, the insurance premium that you pay. So, yeah.
But in doing wrong, we both squeaked to a 4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we both have work to do. 4 is 4.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I mean,
okay, halfway in, much better than 4 squeaking in.
Yeah.
But we both have work to do.
4 is an E and 5 is an A.
No, 4 is an A and 5 is a B.
But we both have work to do to make that a better 4.
Oh,
a more solid 4.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Jeff, nice job.
Yeah. And that's and we really got to a 4. The district spent about $5,000 on fluff. There were some lights and some ladders and a couple other things that the person that does the ISO rating told us, said if you do these things, you'll get, you know, to a 4 from a 5 for all of us.
We went and bought some ladders and whatnot to do that to make that happen. My point is that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Rex, but this agreement that we're talking about tonight is part of that. And if we're in limbo with it, the part we're in limbo with it, that's not good. Not a year and a half on an annual agreement.
The ISO part of this agreement is the shared equipment. I mean, strictly just ISO
stuff. Kind of language, yeah.
We need to have a document or an agreement on shared equipment, meaning district can use your ladder, city can use our rescue as a service, and that all gains you points, it gains us points, water, that helps us. Our personnel, that helps you. Our mutual aid agreements, because we are within 5 miles of all of our Ottawa partners, that helps you. So we're all in this together. I mean, there's one person pulls out, we both lose. Literally. So, and I'm not saying you don't do an interlocal agreement. I mean,
we're not here to definitely.
But we're all in this together, is my point.
Yeah, we're not here to make waves, just try to.
After reviewing page 3 of the interlocal, I do like the fact that Rural has added, agrees to provide water tender support to the city property location outside of their fire hydrant area. I think that needs to be included in that, in yours, Jeff, which is not there. That's my personal feeling on that.
I guess some of the thought there is that, well, if you're going to agree to come and provide your equipment, your department to me, that's assumed it's coming. Uh-huh. Just like we're going to bring our ladder, we're going to bring our engine, we're going to bring our ambulance, we're going to bring everything we got to come to you. I mean, every piece is not spelled out verbatim, nor do I think it needs to be by any means. I have no problem with that.
I mean, it could be taken different ways, and that's why I think it really needs to be put in there. It needs to be worded there.
I mean, they're really close.
Clarify more than anything else, you know, that hey, if the city has volunteers and they're on their city roster, you guys pay the workman's comp. We play the workman's comp on everybody else. It's just those little things like that. The reason we put the water tender thing in there is because the town has, you know, agreed to let us use their hydrants. And this was kind of a reciprocal thing. We'll go ahead and make sure that we get, you know, water support to you out of, you know, out of the way. I mean, yeah, Jeff's right. We would do that probably anyway, but it shows that there's some give and take there.
Right.
So you're not buying water tenders or drilling wells.
The maintenance bay is another thing. In the past, we've talked about facilities here. But what do we bring to the table? And that's, I think it's just showing that both sides bring stuff to the table. We have a maintenance bay, we have a reserve apparatus that we put on the table, anybody needs it, take it. And whether it's written in there or not, is it going to be there? Probably, always will be. So, but it was one of those where we were looking at it as we read the past documents, like, well, we probably ought to, as we gather our stuff up, we probably ought to make note of what we're bringing to the table too. And that is part of the history of it and stuff, because just reading a plain document and not knowing what the history was or where it came from and all that, I think there's a fine line between clogging the document up, but I don't like. I wouldn't like to see us abandon all of the history in that document, so we know when we're not sitting here and you're not sitting there. And somebody says, "Oh, this goes back a ways. Is this okay? I see there were other agreements, and where are they?"
Well, and I like some of the, I like some of the things where you all added, and I do like some of the things where you. I mean, especially being on page 4 that. D, we're maintaining property where you suggest that it, that gets just put into the lease agreement and comes out of here. I mean, so, I mean, I do, but if you go through this, I mean...
We would want them to maintain property coverage on their equipment, didn't you know?
But that's in the lease agreement, though. That would be...
On their equipment. Not their physical property, but their equipment. Vehicles, property, one that property coverage on all the vehicles
and their car insurance.
And
that's fine. They can definitely be in here.
I think that's the intent is that they're if we're using their property that it's insured and vice versa.
I think in there we've got it. So you are listed as certificate holders on our insurance.
Yes.
Oh. So and then
okay.
So. I think the elephant on the table is the lease agreement over there. The interlocal is extremely close. You pull the rent portion, lease portion, that document out of it, the interlocal is very close. And there are a couple leases we had. I was asked to put a lease together, and Brandon put a lease together. So there's two leases out there that say, you know, two different things, and the amounts are quite a ways apart, the control is quite a ways apart. But so that's why we met with council and said, here's the history of it, here's the building, here's how it was paid for. And we just want to make sure that that's known and what we're asking. We're asking to pay her $5,000 a year. We're more than happy to lease half of it back. And if we have control of both of them and town needs space for their apparatus, we're more than happy to put that back in their court. But I think that's probably your biggest difference
between the two parties.
Yeah, is the the amount and the term we're gonna look at. Like I said, we view this more like an airport agreement where your land, our building, and let's work out a lease agreement. And the lease agreement we bought forward was more of a commercial lease and shorter term, a lot more expensive.
I guess the question really comes back to you as the council. What do you want? What do you want for your constituents, for your tax? How do you want that lease to work? What do you want out of it?
Well, I like the idea that all of you are in agreement that we separate the two. So
I guess what I hear is that. Yeah, we want to separate the two. And if we take in, okay, go on that premise, let's look at the interlocal agreement piece first. I think it's really close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's very close.
Very close.
My suggestion would be is that the council at council meeting would make a recommendation that a document, and we can put together a draft that for your review, and you can look at it and whatever you want to change, whatever. But you only have to get a document to you that you're good with that we can then present to the board so we can
work it back and forth,
move on the local being a part of it.
I would have to agree. I mean, this has gone on too long.
Now, but just to clarify an issue on the term of the contract, because this has been discussed with the council president and the attorney and myself. And there's some some language that conflicts with itself in the last agreement, which effectively makes the last agreement still effective. It gives it a termination date, but then it goes on further to say, and will remain in effect until it's terminated by both parties. So it hasn't been terminated.
We still have an agreement.
We still have an agreement. And that was the advice of Brian based on, yes, it has a date, but the date's superseded by this idea that it goes on in perpetuity until one of us cancels the contract. We're on overtime. It's a holdover.
And I don't think the rural board just views that. We just always considered that it does roll over. It doesn't mean we
can just go, let's let it roll over for 10 years. But
no.
We've taken way too long to get it done, but we've always considered the past agreement to still be in force so we can operate.
My job, if something changes, they always have to change the resolution. So, I mean, it's always in effect. Mm-hmm. But if something changes, it just supersedes the last one. I mean, it's until it's terminated, until the business quits or it's no longer there. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I just think that I like both of them. I mean, they're very close. Mm-hmm. Let's put something together and y'all can...
I agree with Jeff. I think that you guys drop a draft, bring it to the council,
mm-hmm.
we'll review it, and then we'll send it to the rural board. They can look at it.
I'll have something for you guys to review so you can look at it prior to the next council meeting.
Yes.
So we can get it going.
So what I prefer, since you all have copies of the district's preferences of the contract,
okay.
I'd like you to provide individually back to the administration what pieces of that information you'd like to see incorporated or not incorporated into this agreement, so that when we build the draft, we're not back at this, well, we didn't incorporate anything that the district wanted, and we don't know why we didn't. Then we're going to be right back where we are tonight at the next meeting.
That would be perfect, because then we have your input.
Yeah.
Get put together, get it back to you for your review, and then we can remove it.
So if you could look at that over the weekend and maybe get it back to us Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
I'd be wonderful. I do have one question though.
Sure.
Sorry, I'm a little confused on this C, D, I, and one says 7D.
Okay, so the difference is between the one draft and the other draft, there's number 4 was eliminated out of 1, and so it sets the numbers off. 6 to 7.
Right.
Yeah. That's all it is.
We'll go through and proof it and make sure that when it references another section, it's the right section that's referencing.
Is that
there's two different spots there, Robin. There's this one here, and then
there's a few of them.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, okay, what's 7
with 6?
So, okay, that works for me.
Can I put one small technical question? We've got people in the room. If this lands on my desk, one of the things that I've probably played in the past, probably played again, is routine consumable expenses. Not defined in the contract, that's fine, it doesn't have to be, they don't have to be super minuscule. What would be a routine consumable expense? I mean, is this something on the range between
gauze,
Band-Aids,
4x4?
Right, so when we talk about 5-cent packets, or we talk about $500 items that are reduced? So this is understood to be below a certain dollar value?
Yeah. And it's all medical? It's all on the EMS side?
It is.
All the fire stuff? I mean, consumables is foam. I mean, we have ours, Jeff has his.
It's consumables that you're talking of is all medical side, medically related.
All
in the 50-50 cost share piece of it.
So, in theory, we could add something on there that says routine consumable supplies valued at less than $50.
Yeah, but, I mean, we know we're not going to go buy an AED and expect me to sign off on it.
Yes,
we're going to talk. Although that's not a consumable. But the gauze, all that stuff is all good.
In my world, when everybody agrees it's fine, it's when they don't agree that
it's
fine.
So, Brian, if we incorporate some sort of like a dollar value or something like that, is that...
I mean, if these gentlemen can give us like what a practical dollar value is, it's not restricted.
All those bills are normally $600
anyway. Per purchase, right?
Don't those purchases have to be signed off by each fire chief?
By each chief?
Prior approval is.
Unless it's a routine consumable.
Unless it's a routine consumable, which would be gauze or oxygen or.
So the only concern with putting a number on this is the number for a 2-month purchase, or is the number for an item?
No.
Because I mean that would be
a good order question.
We could order $700 one month, or we could order $50 next month.
But, exactly. And we do things like that.
Yeah. So.
Because it's really hard to go, well, how much or two are we going to use this one?
Yeah.
Okay. We may use none, we may use it all.
I'm not suggesting it has to be a dollar value here, but But I'm just saying that when it hits my desk, I come back to Brandon and the council and say, are we sure we agree on what this means?
The other part is our QRU budgets are almost a mirror.
They are.
So if it's not going to fit his budget, it's not going to fit mine either.
Institutional mechanism protected?
There you go. Yeah.
As a board, when we start dealing with our budget and everything, we ask them for their budget, so they almost are here, because I think we just kind of did your budget.
So you're not buying double.
Well, it's changing year after year. You get more and more medical calls.
So if we put a dollar limit in there, we may need to be revisiting every 2 years and changing the dollar limit.
I mean, and then the routine consumables are the items that are used on the fire apparatus, not on the ambulance. Because if they're used on the ambulance, and then we do a transport, then we're going to get reimbursed for those consumables.
You make that up.
What is our budget? What is your EMS budget? Isn't it like $2,500 or something? Isn't that what we
budget? Ours are more around like, you know.
So I want it 7 days.
No one thinks it. Is it been 8 to 9 dollars?
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
It's just smaller than that this year, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we'll massage it a little bit.
See. Yeah. But anyway, we'll. Everybody get a chance to look down here. Yeah, no, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
We'll work for that. So then I think the next piece we need to move to in tonight's meeting would be to talk about the lease.
So the questions of the lease are basically, do you want to charge or don't you want to charge? And if you want to charge, how much do you want to charge? And how long do you want to charge it?
Or
that's more than one question.
You want to go back to the historic rate?
The
$5,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be the what you want to charge.
That's right? The district is comfortable with that, and we feel that was negotiated in good faith, 19 years ago. So we feel that we should honor that. But that would be for the full space, and we're more than happy to lease back or do whatever the attorney might suggest would be. I think it would be easier to have one lease for a certain dollar amount each year that's a multi-year, 5 to 10 year renewable lease, and then specify in there that, we will lease back to the town, space that we have available for prorated share or whatever, the lease would be. So that's kind of our position. I don't know if you got a copy of the draft lease that we prepared. I think we did talk about it, but I've got some copies here of somebody. But it was basically a commercial lease, and honestly, this would be something I think that the town would draw up, and then we would, you guys would sign off on it, board would sign off on it. But we just put together some ideas, and I'll just give you these.
I have one.
You have one? Okay. So if you've got those.
We haven't changed it from that draft.
Okay. Right.
Did you get one, Brandon?
I have one.
You have one?
In my office.
I remember seeing it.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
But I think that's your decision then, is to decide how you want to proceed with it. I do think the interlocal is the important piece to get approved first and get that done and out, and then we can deal with this. I mean, sooner rather than later. But
yeah, I think they're kind of prepared documents. I'd like to see us deal with them. Yeah, they've both been hanging out there. Mm-hmm. But Brandon's right. It's the amount of your lease and the term of your lease are probably of 2-way Buck Street. And, what can be, how it's going to be shared. Just that simple.
I do have to say I like the long term. That way, we're not coming back every single year and reviewing it again.
Right. You don't want to revisit this on a regular basis.
No.
I look at how long it's taken us on this.
Yeah.
So there's a year and a half burned away already.
Yeah. This would be like running for the House of Representatives. You win and then you start all over again for the next 2 year spot. So, yeah.
And I think when the term was discussed between council president and the attorney and myself, Brian's caution was not to go any, not go much further past 5 years.
5 years is a reasonable time for everybody to come back, check in. It's still working. You know, like,
I'm good with 5 years.
The other piece of that is your terms are ready for your term as a council person. So that 5 years kind of works, coincides with that. Swapping out all the council members and nobody knows what's going on, and it brings the newer individual to maybe turn the seats up to speed, so to speak.
I personally like just going back to what it has always been, the $5,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, I think that's been memorialized, and you know, that's, we're perfectly comfortable with that. And for us, a longer-term lease, I think, is critical, because one of the things, you know, we talked about earlier was ISO, and that, you know, that solidifies our burn fork station, so we don't have to worry about every year or two trying to renegotiate. You know, we don't have any plans to build another station anywhere, you know, up Burnt Fork or off of Logan or wherever, that might give a better, you know, response area for especially the Burnt Fork up into Ironcap. That doesn't mean in 10 years in a long-range plan, once we get some of these other buildings taken care of, there might be an opportunity that we could do something like that. But
there's also an opportunity where the town's growing and they could use the building. So it's back to that same old mutual thing again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what's kind of instigating some of this now. We just got to have some a little bit longer times, because we're not going to be able to drop a hat and build another building next year. So we need at least to be long enough for our budget purposes and for our long-term plan purposes to maintain that burn for call, wherever it is. It's a key thing for both of us, for our ISO. So that's why we're looking for a longer term.
Yeah, this draft was actually 20 years, but, you know, if you want to break it into 5 years and have, you know, three renewable periods, you know, and then renegotiate it, that'd be fine too. I mean, we would be open, you know, longer term if, in fact, we could, you know, we got some land donated to us up Burnt Fork, we decided to build a station there. You know, we would hope that we could work out some kind of an agreement to, you know, either you guys would purchase the, you know, our investment at a rate, or we donate it at something, you know, so that you could.
Both parties are working out.
Yeah. We just hate to see a $100,000 investment that we don't plan on just walking away from that, you know, and we're happy with paying rent on the ground, basically, but, you know, at some point in time in the future, there may be an opportunity to, you know, to work out an agreement there, so.
My only challenge with that philosophy is if we lease for $5,000 a year for 5 years, then in 5 years, will you come back, and if the investment, you know, are you going to want an extra $25,000 out of the investment into the building because we've leased it to you?
No, we're just leasing the land.
Okay.
Yeah. Leasing the land.
Yeah, we're just leasing the land. I mean, that, and I think, you know,
tomorrow you can say, pick your building up and move it. Yeah. You want our land.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I say it'd be real similar to an airport lease. I mean, that's, you guys have 20-year leases, I think, at the airport. You know, and that's, you know, that's the best comparison, you know, where whoever leases the ground builds their own hangar on it, and they, you know, they pay taxes on that, and they pay you a lease agreement, and, you know, hopefully that's renewable at the end of that time period, so they don't just lose the building, so.
But are we paying the heat and the power to that building?
We will be when the generator's hooked up.
We are now, yeah.
Right, but I mean, that's something that you guys need to be aware of when
our utilities will increase.
Put together an agreement.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to pay the utilities?
So if you want to come up with I understand once you guys put your generator in, everything is on one of the bills, is that correct?
Correct.
So
yeah.
If you want to look at history of what we've been paying and, you know, include Brad in the lease, I certainly think that's probably fair with you.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, you know, we pay the utilities now, and, you know, on top of the lease payment. So, you know, if in fact the utility bill averages $150 a month, we'll calculate that in. If we lease back to the town one of the bays, we'll calculate half the utilities back in. It's not, I mean, this is not roughly rocket science.
Common sense.
Yeah, common sense.
These are all factors that need to be factored in.
Right.
This is the others of that.
Yeah.
Small stuff, but they should be included.
Right.
Currently, there is no lease payment. Yeah. We're just paying utilities on the building. We're insuring it, and they're paying utilities.
Okay. So, again, if we could get some feedback from this council as to the direction you want this lease to look like, then we can get it written down, put it out there, and get it back to you.
Give it to you by Monday or Tuesday, then you guys can work on a draft, put it together, blah, blah.
Yep, that'd be great.
Sounds good.
That works.
Okay.
Works for me.
Okay.
Sure, do our homework all weekend.
We need it till Tuesday.
It's just like school days.
What weekend?
Or you do it right before you have to get it sent in.
I'll do what kind of baby.
All right, is there anything further on the interlocal agreement or land lease agreement between the town of Stevensville, the Stevensville Fire District, and council?
I would like to, if we could see get a copy of the history of what they've been paying the utilities.
Sure.
That would be good.
Okay.
We can.
Yeah, that comes directly to us, so we can get that.
We can get it from you. So
if you can just send us one bill, then it should have a year's worth of history on it.
I think Jennifer can probably pull that all out in like, probably a 12-month thing or something. But yeah, we can get you a sample of
the bill to show it.
They have a graph on the back.
Bill to show the chart. Yeah.
Because that would help us.
Yeah.
Just get an idea.
Yeah.
Okay. And during that time, we'll also look at what we're paying for property insurance based on this facility on the square foot. So that will help us determine, because I think that's the easiest way to break up this lease is the square footage that's being utilized.
Okay. I don't know if it's a consideration with a separate address is whether we insure that portion of the building or not, or we want to keep it under one policy.
It does have a separate address.
It does have a separate address, but it's titled to the town, so we'll insure it no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's three of the walls are attached to one of ours, so. Well, and it may be that you guys have renter's insurance on it to cover your assets inside, and if something happens to the building.
Yeah,
okay?
Good.
All right, if there's nothing further on the discussion item, I'll allow for public comment. Any public comment on the interlocal or land lease? All right. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? All right, so move to second, we adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
So, for your information, the USCBA cylinders have shipped. So, 2 weeks.